a few minutes to do one of the focus on rest techniques. Maybe you're drawn to see rest. Maybe you're drawn to hear rest. Maybe you're drawn to feel rest. You'd like to just narrow to one of those three for a while. Or maybe you'd like to broadly float among the three, getting a sense of an integrated experience of rest in all the modalities. Whatever appeals to you, decide if you'd like to go narrow or go broad. The longer we go, the deeper we work. Our surface experience may sometimes seem deep, sometimes seem superficial. But the work, the purification, the release, that only increases with time. Okay, good. Now, restful states are a relative state of no self, relatively speaking. By way of contrast, there is the self, which could be whatever arises spontaneously, but we can refine and cultivate better habits of self through the method of nurture positive. You'll recall, so far we've explored two broad themes. Working with positive emotion, the emotional side, and working with a positive new thought pattern, the sort of mental side. You'll recall also that we have a certain structure. We establish that theme in mental talk and also the emotional body. See how that works? Then we do it in mental image and also the emotional body if possible. It's a little wind up exercise. Just takes a couple minutes. And then you decide, am I going to concentrate just on the positive image, the positive talk, the positive emotion in the body? Or will it be two of them at once, or all three at once? And then you hold that, and you taste as much as possible concentration, clarity, equanimity. You taste the taste of mindful awareness, which is our general skills. Also developing a specific positive habit, either a tendency towards a positive emotion, love, joy, gratitude, or a tendency towards more rational, appropriate, productive thought habits. Positive thought could either be the antidote, the medicine, the antidote to a negative thought that you habitually have, or it could be a presently existing positive that you would like to reinforce. And you decide. So we're going to take a few minutes either to do positive emotion, nurture positive affect, or if you prefer, to work on a positive cognition. Either the opposite of one of your habitual negatives or one of your habitual positives to reinforce. Go through the little wind-up process. It just takes a couple minutes, and then hold the theme in the space of the sensory system you elect to work with. You hold it in all three at once, image, talk, emotional body, that's an expansive concentration. If you hold it just in the body, there can also be a sense of expansion because you can radiate it out in all six directions. All that if you wish to create positive emotion in the body, there are a number of ways to do that. You can just smile artificially. That will tend to create pleasant feel in. If you have a lot of flow in your body, you may find your body smiling in response to that energy, the massage. That's another source of positive, pleasant feel in. If you have a lot of rest, once again, you might find pleasant emotion, smile, being continuously supported by the presence of. So let's take a few minutes, go through the little warm-up, and then the main part of nurture positive, either for emotion content or for thought pattern content, whatever. Good. So, any questions just about our experience here? Yes. Yes. So, I'm going to repeat and then make a comment. So, I tried to focus on rest, and then I tried to focus on positive, but I just had so much anger that it was simply impossible. It just kept coming. And of course, we could substitute fear or sadness or shame or confusion or physical pain, etc., etc. Now, at this retreat, we've only been covering, in terms of instruction, two basic strategies for practice. And they're both under the broad classification of turn away. You'll recall that inevitably the self arises, inevitably the self disappears, whether a person sees it or not, whether that self is a pleasant self or an unpleasant self, whether the disappearance is a deep experience, or a completely unconscious experience, inevitably self and world arise, inevitably self and world disappear. So we only at this retreat covered the turn away from it strategy. However, one of the reasons why in my manual I have a lot about turn towards it is that it can easily happen that no matter how hard you try to either focus on something restful or focus on something positive, you just can't. So I say interest, opportunity, necessity. So in this case, necessity dictates. Because you just can't go anywhere else. So fortunately, there is something you can do. Unfortunately, I didn't give systematic instruction in it. But you can turn towards it in a skillful way. And so what does that involve? Well, if it's overwhelming, you divide and conquer. The sort of good news about something intense, about an intense emotional arising, like what you recorded, there is a silver lining to it, okay? Normally, when we sit and meditate, the most common report is, well, I don't get much visual thought, and I don't get much emotion in the body. But if something upsets us, you actually get a lot of emotion in the body. And you also tend to get a lot of visual thought. You see this situation, that situation, I'm going to do this. How dare they do that? And it's like you see the individuals, the relationships, the scenes. So the sort of, the way I like to think about it is, I'm either upset or I'm not. And if I'm not upset, that's wonderful. And if I am upset, oh good, now I've got all three going at once. So, and although that may seem like sort of ridiculous, actually, with time you truly come to look at things in that way. And I'll explain why in a moment. So let's say that you cannot turn away from the thoughts and emotions. They're just too intense, too great. So what do you do? Well, the first thing is you try to be happy that it's happening. And you say, well, how, you know, that makes no sense. But for one thing, well, they're all active. So now I have an opportunity to work. For another thing, although it seems like you're going backwards, you're actually still going forwards in your practice. So let's just briefly talk about the theory, at least, and I apologize that I'm not going to have a chance to systematically take you through. Here's the theory. Okay, there's a big upset, and it's affecting all your internal senses. The first thing that I usually ask myself is, where is it most intense? Where is it middle intense? And is there, out of the three, out of the see in, the hear in, feel in, is one of those less intense than the others? Now, very often, not inevitably, but often it will be the see in that is the less gripping. Because the herein can be very, very loud and compelling, and the feel-in can be excruciatingly uncomfortable. But often, depends on the individual, not inevitably, but often the see-in is more tractable. So my general strategy is go to the least challenging element first. People tend to go to the most challenging element, but I start with the least challenging. Challenging in the sense of intense and difficult. So you've got three elements. You've got the mental picture, the mental talk, and the emotional body. And you ask yourself, of these three, is one of them easier to be with than the others? Okay? You investigate. They may not be equally intense. One may be less intense than the others. If that's the case, go there first, because that's the weakest link. You see, the mental image, the see in, the hear in, the feel in, they create a kind of chain. One links to another, links to another, links to another, and it binds us identifying with our thoughts and emotions. So you ask yourself, of this chain, is one of those links easier to cut? Is it less intense? Does that make sense?
Yes and no.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why I said my general tendency. Okay. General strategy is start with the weakest link. However, you're absolutely correct. For some people, the more intense is somehow easier to work with initially. So you decide, where am I going to start? Do I want to start with the least challenging, the most challenging? And then you work just there for a while. Now, how do you work? Well, second, let's say you start with see in. At any given instant, you either have a mental image or you don't. And if you have a mental image, see in. If you don't, see rest. When that mental image disappears, gone. Now, what's going to happen while you attempt to do that? Mental talk is going to scream for attention. The emotional body is going to scream for attention. But just for now, you're watching image space. And you might discover that that when the talk expands, the image goes away. And then you note that it's gone, and then there's just rest. So the usual experience is that our attention is like a ping pong ball. And there's three players. Imagine some bizarre ping pong game where there's a three-sided table, and your soul is the ball, and there are three professional players that are very fast and very strong, whacking you in each of three directions, okay? That's our normal experience. So it's just you get whacked by, it's like yadda yadda, bang, 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 you know, this, I'm going to do this, they did that, yadda yadda, bang, 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 okay? You're just being batted about mercilessly. And that's how people live their whole lives. Something comes up, and the ping pong match starts. So you take a stand and you say, I don't care how strong the other paddles whack me, I'm just going to stay with one. And what you'll discover is that one is impermanent. Okay? It comes and goes. And then you focus on another. Herein, gone, here rest. Herein, gone, here rest. While you attempt to focus on that, the other ones explode. You know that's going to happen, but what's the impact locally? Okay? Well, it may cause momentary rest or gone that you wouldn't have noticed otherwise. So you sort of touch base in whatever order is easiest for you, and you work with them individually. Work with means give it permission to last as long or as short as it wishes. You bring concentration, clarity, equanimity to each of those components individually, and then you work with the whole system. And then you work individually, and then you work with the whole system. This is my standard strategy. And as the result of that, instead of it being yet another suffering that somehow you get through, when it's over, you taste that something has been released. You actually taste that. And it's true. If we think of the spiritual path as a journey from surface to source, okay? There's a source down here. There's a source, if you want to call it the source of consciousness, or if you want to call it the spirit, or if you want to call it Hashem, or you call it whatever you want. But in the core of our, there's a surface to our being, which is the normal experience of self and world. And then there is this formless doing that is the creator source, that's at the center of each moment of consciousness, each moment of self and world. Its belly button is this source that we share with all of creation. So our journey is a journey from the surface to the source. But it's not like the surface remains here and there's an I that makes some sort of journey down to the source. And now the surface is here and I touch the source. That's not how it works. What happens is that the surface gradually settles in little quantum drops, okay? It's like an electron finding its ground state. The metaphor might be quite appropriate, actually. So it drops. So the whole surface of consciousness, the whole sense of self and world, is getting closer and closer to the source. Now, each time you drop closer to the source, two things happen. You feel wonderful for a while because the distance between you and the source has been reduced forever. And then you feel horrible for a while because you dropped a level closer, so the next level of blockage, the next thing that's been separating you from the source, touches the surface. And it seems like you've gone backwards. But you haven't. deeper material has percolated upwards. That's all that's happened. But it's hard to believe. It seems because the closer you... So there, what's in between the self and the world, the surface of consciousness, and the formless source of consciousness, what's in between could be described as the subconscious. It could be described, and the subconscious can be described either as a world of archetypes, Sambhoga Kaya, that would be the Jungian point of view, or it can be described as the pool of poison and pain, the cellar where all the unresolved trauma resides, which would be more the Freudian point of view. In Buddhism, there's both points of view. We call it the Sambhoga Kaya, and it's the realm of archetypal images. But we also call it the Alaya Vijnana, which means the storehouse consciousness of karma that blocks our direct experience of nirvana. Both are true. Anyway, you drop a little deeper, and you feel wonderful, but then now you're touching a more primitive level of blockage. And it's more irrational and more intense. Okay? And then hopefully you remember what's happening, and you just apply your practice. And you work through that level, and then you drop another level. And now you're having a deeper experience, because you're getting closer. It's even more wonderful. More energy, more tranquility, more unconditional love, until it's the opposite of that. Why? Have you gone backwards? No, there's no going backwards. As long as you're continuing your practice, there's no going backwards. But deeper material percolates upward, and the deeper the material, the more animalistic and infantile the rebellion is. And you might think you are losing your mind, but actually, you are just resolving what's always been down there, what's inside everyone, and what caused, from the interpersonal to the international, what's causing all the problems. You're just working it through, okay? So it's strange, because the deeper you go, the more profound the experience of energy, love, and tranquility, sometimes, and the more primitive and intense the experience of its opposite, other times. As long as you can remember what you're doing, you're always making progress. Inevitably, the self disappears. Inevitably, the self reappears, okay? Over and over and over again. However, it gets easier. It gets easier as time goes on, because the good parts more and more dominate, and although the bad parts are more and more primitive, you've been through the cycle so many times that you know what to expect, and you know what to do, and it's on automatic pilot, and you hardly even notice. I mean, during a day, I range from nirvana to meshuggah with hardly noticing the difference. Because I'm just so used to that cycle. So at some point, you get very close to the source, and then hopefully, at least for a few of you, it is possible that you will touch. That the surface will touch the source. And maybe it will separate again, but at some point it just rests there. So that's continuous prayer. There's just, everything's a prayer. Every sensory event is a prayer. That's enlightenment. And is that the end? No, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of a whole other phase. Because you still have this surface, and it's just touching at one point. So all the points of the surface have to touch the source and fall under the source. And that's real enlightenment. That's a Zen master. They're inside zero, always. So what you're describing, it happens. And it happens over and over and over again. So that's why it's happening. Typically, that does not happen. The question is, well, if too much comes up too soon, are you going to like literally lose your mind and go insane? I've been doing meditation retreats like this for 40 years with lots of people in lots of different situations. Maybe in 40 years, I've seen in my own retreats maybe two or three people have severe mental problems as the result of the meditating. But that's out of thousands of people, okay? Two or three people will take an aspirin and die, okay? So you sort of do the math. However, I will say this. In every case where someone had a severe mental problem, a psychotic episode, every one of those cases involved two things. Okay? That person had had a psychotic episode previously, and they were doing very intense meditation with sleep deprivation, okay, not just like sitting a few hours. So yes, if you've had a psychosis before and you do very intense meditation, especially with sleep deprivation, yes, there is some possibility.
Does God follow you?
On track?
Yeah.
Yes. In general. The great majority of cases. Yes.
So I thought, oh, go with it. So I did. Bumps. And then I wonder how long this is going to last. I had to tell Shinton about it.
Inevitably, the self arises. You dissolved into flow, and then you're all tripped out about flow.
No, but it was at the same time. My body is like with flow, and my mind is like.
This is a common report for the first experience of strong flow. All the things that you mentioned are typically what happens and how people relate to it. You may have this happen to you again soon, or it might not happen again for a while. If you continue to meditate, it will tend to happen with some regularity. And of course, as you get used to it, then less and less will you trip out on it, okay? You won't have to think about it, and you'll just, over the months and years and decades, it will just become your normal, it will become an integrated experience for you. When you first bite into an apple, the first thing your teeth touch is the skin of the apple. Now, although that's the apple, it's not really representative of what the most of the apple is. Okay, most of the apple is juicy and sweet and soft. But the first thing you touch is, it's apple, but it's not, it's more, it's crusty in its surface, okay, and it's dry and hard. So I would say you definitely experienced flow. You bit into that apple, but your teeth have just touched the surface of flow, okay? So any part of that that was cool and that you liked, that's going to get more and more and more. Any part of that was weird or uncomfortable or confusing is going to get less and less and less in general as time goes on. So congratulations. That's good.